Our 19th study in the book of Genesis brings us to chapter 15, verse 13. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 15, verse 13. And he, talking about the Lord, said unto Abram, Know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And God is talking about the 400 years that Abram's descendants, the Israelites, will spend in Egypt. Much of it was as slaves. And God warned ahead of time that terrible times were coming. And I suppose he did that in part so that his people would know that he had not lost control, nor was he caught off guard when those hard times hit. And if they knew the word of God, they could have that assurance when those times did hit. You know, when difficult times hit us, it is not because God has lost control, because he has not. It is not because God was caught off guard, because he was not. He is still in charge, and we must trust him no matter what. That is what God wants from us. 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. Egypt will enslave the Israelites and force them to work for nothing. But God will make them pay Israel their back wages before they leave the land. They're not getting away with it. No one gets away with unfairness. No one gets away with being mean to others. God is fair, so the unfair will be punished. And those treated unfairly will be treated well. Things are going to even out because God is a God of justice. Now, fairness may not occur in this life, but it will certainly occur in eternity. And you say, well, that's not good enough. I want it to be in this life. Well, you're like a dog chasing your tail. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to catch it. You're not going to realize that because this life, this world has been infested and corrupted with sin. It's not going to happen in this life. And if you live by faith, you'll be satisfied with it happening in the next life. Only those who are weak-faithed, worldly-minded, demand that it happen in this life. And if it doesn't, well, boy, they just, you know, they stumble in their faith and they accuse God. They say that he's not loving and all this other kind of rot. That's what it is. 15. God says, And you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And Abraham lived to 175 years old when he, that's what he was when he died. Egypt will enslave Israel. Abraham will not live long enough to see all those terrible times that his descendants will have to endure. He'll be in heaven, enjoying the good life. And you know, I'm not in any hurry to die. I want to stay here. I want to keep teaching the Word of God. But I believe the Bible, so I know that eternity is going to be a big upgrade for Christians, just as it was for Abram. I mean, he went to heaven, and he was having a good time while his descendants were down here suffering in Egypt. Much better, like Paul said, to depart and be with the Lord. Verse 16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God will give Abram's descendants, the Israelites, the land of Canaan, but they will have to wait 400 years. And someone says, why the wait? because God will give the current inhabitants of that land 400 years to repent. Now, the next time you hear someone suggest that God is harsh, or that the God of the Old Testament was very impatient and very harsh, the next time you hear somebody say that, number one, you know they've never read the Bible. The next time you hear somebody say that God isn't as patient as he should be, you will know that that simply isn't true if you remember this verse. God is patient. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God's patience does have a limit. Even though he bends over backwards trying to get sinners to repent so that he can forgive them, it does have a limit. And with the Amorites, the inhabitants of the Promised Land, that patience would last 400 years. Long time, but it would come to an end. They better repent, which they won't. 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And now the furnace and the lamp both represent God. In other words, God passes between the halves of the animals all by himself. And by doing that, God was saying, Abram, this is a unilateral covenant. In other words, I'm making this unconditional promise, and I alone am responsible for its fulfillment. It has nothing to do with you, Abram. Remember last time that Abram had asked for proof that his descendants would inherit that land? Well, God just gave him proof. God has just sworn by himself that he would do it. And he did do it. Because God not only doesn't lie, he cannot lie. And by the way, God was swearing to the death that he would make Abram a great nation and give that nation the land of Canaan. So if God failed to keep his promise, he would have to cease to exist. 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. In these verses, God lays out the boundaries of the promised land. Let's go into chapter 16. Now, in chapter 15, we saw the faithfulness of God, swearing by himself in that blood covenant. Unfortunately, in chapter 16, we're going to see the exact opposite with regards to Abraham and Sarah. God's faithfulness was on display in chapter 15. Abraham and Sarai's unfaithfulness will be on display in chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray you, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. I can't have a baby, Abram. So take my servant, Hagar, have a baby with her, and I will claim that the child is mine. And that seems bizarre to us, I suppose, today. Although I don't know, maybe nothing is bizarre anymore. But Sarai did not invent that idea. Actually, it was perfectly acceptable in that culture in that day. Everyone was doing it, you might say. At the very least, everyone accepted it as being okay. Many social customs do not have the approval of God, and that one certainly did not. And by the way, it doesn't matter how socially acceptable something may be today. If it is contrary to the Holy Bible, then it is wrong, then it is sin. And you might say, but everyone is doing it. And everyone, the vast majority of people, say that it's okay. Well, that doesn't mean, you know what that means? That means nothing. Oh, yes, yes, it means everyone who is doing whatever it is sinning, and everyone who is doing it will answer to God for it. It does certainly mean that, no question about that. That's what it means. Sarai made a wrong suggestion, and Abram did wrong by following. And not only will they pay for that, but I got news for you. We're still paying for it today, and we'll probably touch on that next time. Verse 3, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. And then it says, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Abram and Sarai lost their God focus, and that got them into trouble. And they will just scratch the surface of what that trouble is in their lifetime. They wanted a child so badly that thoughts of a child consumed them. They thought about what they wanted more than they thought about God. And so they ended up doing what they wanted instead of doing what God wanted. And if our top priority is the Lord God, then He will bless us with what we need when we need it. If we jump out of God's will to get what we want, oh, we may get it, but it will not be what we expected, and it will come fully loaded with trouble. Verse 4 says, and he, speaking of Abram, went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So as soon as Hagar conceived, she began to act unkindly toward Sarai. She treated her with contempt. It didn't take long, did it, for trouble to arrive after they jumped out of the will of God. Didn't take long at all. Hagar, the servant girl, conceives, and as soon as she knows she is carrying Abram's child, she gets puffed up with pride, and she starts giving Sarai a hard time. Not right. God doesn't like that. Jumping out of God's will didn't bring Sarai the happiness she thought it would. It never does. She's more miserable now than ever. She just brought more trouble on herself. And you know, the story of sin from Genesis to Revelation is this. It promises happiness. It promises joy. It promises fulfillment. But it delivers trouble every single time. Which is why God tells us Christians, that the Old Testament was written for our learning, for our admonition, for our example. Look at the Old Testament and don't repeat their mistakes. And we'll pick it up in verse 5 next time.